on the one hand, you know, there's one narrative of Hong Kong, which is just like, this is great, we're reclaiming all this land, we're building all this stuff, this, like, you know, we're making nature conservation areas, West Kowloon Cultural District's going to be great, no. Right? And then we're just like,
depends who she talks to.
Right? So there's one narrative, that's going great. It's very spectacular and iconic narrative, because you actually have these buildings, right? You actually have this like plot of land that did not exist before. And then on the other hand, I hear this deep anxiety from people who are like, where are we going? What's happening here? Yeah. And like all these changes, you can actually see the physical changes having psychological effects on like the young people, you were saying, but also like the rest of the population. So, I mean, I don't know, I wanted to ask your opinion. I wanted to hear you guys talk a little bit more about that relationship between the immense architectural and infrastructural changes that are occurring in Hong Kong, and that kind of psychology of, like, you know, the people, which I think you do tap into when you think of your anthology, right? Because you're thinking of these masses of people too. Sorry, it's like a really hard question.
I don't think we thought about architecture that much.
Yeah.
Well, we did some like 3 workshops together.
Yeah.
And I invited Andio Lai. He is a graphic artist, to imagine the cityscape of Hong Kong in the future. The way he thought about it is like, he conceptualized it as like a 2-layer city, like a developer would 3D print some pillar and then put these pillar like in the middle of like old district, like here, a few pillars here and there, and built another layer over, like a canopy on top of the older district. So it's gonna be like a sort of a iPhone Apple kind of aesthetic, all white Sahara-y kind of thing. I mean, it's again, it's about the discussion about how like real estate developers, corporates exploit the rest of the population, and this is like deeply ingrained in our consciousness. I think.
And who the space belong to?
Yeah. 在香港的城市里面叫另外一个新的城市，这个地方是给有人这样说吧，是给那个从中国过来的有钱的有权利的人。听说在哪边的楼房有一般都是这种人买下来，另外的人可能就是在本地里面愿意跟这些人可以合作的人来了。你讲的在哪里？ 就是圆方嘛，圆方，Elements，Elements，Yeah，对啊，你看整个建筑是很有趣的是，它下面是个 podium， 下面是有很多不同的 building 在下面了，就是 high rise 在下面，不同样子 high rise， 看起来是蛮好看的，对，你从九龙那边看，从香港岛那边看过去，就它的样子大概是这样子，这是真的，所以大家都拿来开玩笑，。但是你看到整个 space 上面的切记，它基本上是自己是一个 island 来的，就它外面什么都没有，没有街，外面没有所谓的我们以前认识的街道，这只是一个 gated community 来，对，里面在地下面它会 connect to 这个新的那个高铁，对，这个高铁就让人家很快的速度可以回到北京，来往北京。 然后将来的最大的艺术展览区，这会在这里。对，这个艺术展览区收藏了很多都是从中国大陆买过故宫的那边的东西来。所以你看到整个新的地区是给新的那边城市里面新的那个精英使用的空间来。还有整个地方，我不知道将来会怎么样，但是最错的那个 proposal 是给一家公司去开发的。 所以也就是说，整个地区都是一个所谓的 private area， 就是我们很多在公共地方上面的法律都不可以应用到这个地方上面。所以，比如说你在里面要做游行集会的话，基本上是可以完全的禁止，但是警察政府没有角色在里面，因为整个是整个地区是一个私人开发的地方来。所以以前我们私人地方是没有这么大的嘛，只有比如说是一个 estate 在里面。 就是比如说是好像是太古城啊、米富啊这种私人的中产阶级的房子的地方，但现在是不是这么小的地方，是整个一个很大的地区来，所以你看到整个是 某个意义上是很刻画的地方，因为里面的法律可能是会很不一样，因为很多法律都不会应用到这个地方上面。可能最近的讨论就是中国，也对对，就是所谓的那个高田里面，就是中国的那个他们的 sovereignty 的部分，可以延伸到香港地上面的部分来。
嗯。So is this on the reclaimed land or
where Empress
is? Yeah,
where Empress is,
exactly,
right? Yeah.
And reclaimed land, yes.
Mm. So the border is kind of extending to the, in the middle of the city.
This is what I'm
thinking. Yeah. 然后就是我的整个过程里面是你的问题里面就有问过我，就是对艺术工作者其他人的那个影响嘛。我觉得整个讨论是给，就是给政府去，就是去摆弄嘛。就是怎么说，就是最早的时候英国人做这个土地的开发的时候，是一个 promised land 来，这个 promised land 是给那个从那个九龙老区里面的那 old urban area 里面重建的居民，他们可以搬到比较靠近海边的地方，然后中心的部分可以重建嘛。后来就是政府就慢慢慢慢就把这个 project 好像是忘记了，然后再重新提出来的时候，说是这个是一个西九龙的艺术发展区，然后就想拿到艺术家的支持。我觉得艺术家那个时候好像是也不知道整个事件的背景，然后就好像是很多人在谈论的不是以前的 promise 怎么去 fulfill， instead 他们去谈的是我们之前在里面可以拿到什么，有多少只是博物馆吗？里面会有钱可以给艺术团体吗？这一种讨论在里面，然后政府就当然很高兴这种讨论了，因为这个以前的计划就变成是有一个公共讨论的基础去把它推导过来。然后现在的基本上你看到就是艺术团体啊，可能我看没有他们的份，对，可以参加的可能都是比较大的一种 project 来。
其实我听的时候，他刚刚开始的时候好像是政府有一笔钱可以发展艺术，但是就是说 they either build the West Kowloon or nothing. So there's not much of a choice anyways. Mm-hmm.